Salvation Now podcast, where you'll discover and be equipped with keys from the Word of God that will pave the way to God's unlimited blessing in your life. Now, here's your host, Evangelist TJ Malkanji.
The topic I'm going to be speaking on today is the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the text I'm going to be using is found in Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 26. And it's the account of the angel Gabriel coming to visit Mary while she was just minding her own business, thinking life was going to go on as usual. Instead, she has the most stunning experience that changed the course of her life forever. And not only her life, but the course of history and any human being that's ever come on the earth since then. The Bible says that the light, Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and that light was the life of all men coming into the world. And so her life, Mary's life, literally changed the course of history. God used her to put an indelible mark and make generational impact. And here's a simple lady, probably around the age of 15 and 16 years old, was not old by any standard. And yet God didn't care about her age. God didn't care about the fact that woman may have been overlooked at that time. God just saw a woman who was willing and ready to obey God no matter what. And so if you're here today and you're thinking to yourself that I don't got much to offer God, and I feel like I've got greatness on the inside of me, I feel like there's great plans that the Lord may be speaking to me in dreams and visions and just things that I have stirred up in my spirit. You know, ideas are gets God's voice. God speaks through ideas, and sometimes you get these divine ideas and they're so big, but you feel so unqualified and so not ready to perform these things, and you start to feel your own personal inadequacy, and it kind of discourages you from stepping out. Well, that's exactly how Mary felt at the first when the angel came and she had that encounter with the angel. Totally underqualified, totally, young, not someone prevalent or affluent or influential in society, and yet God is a master at taking those that the world deems foolish, that the world deems unrecognizable, that the world deems as weak and despised and have-nots and do-nots. God takes them to shame the wise. He takes them to shame the mighty. He takes them to shame those that are, so that nobody can boast in God's presence. So now I want to encourage you, no matter where you might find yourself right now, no matter how small your beginning is, with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we don't despise the day of small beginnings. Though our beginnings are small and seemingly insignificant, your latter end shall greatly increase. That's the gist of Jesus's parable of the seed. He said it's like the kingdom of God is like a small mustard seed. And when it is planted, it is indeed the smallest of all the seeds. It looks insignificant. It looks like it cannot produce much. But after it dies in the ground, it indeed bears fruit. And the Bible says that that tree becomes the biggest tree in all the forest. Moreover, the birds come and nest in its branches. That means that tree becomes a support system where you go from, by the kingdom power, being the one who's always being supported, who seemingly needs support, to God making you into someone who can be a support system to others by the anointing of God. And that's where I see the Lord taking you and your family in the name of Jesus Christ. From being the one who always needs help to the one giving help. From being the one who always needs assistance to the one being the assistance, being the blessing, being the one who is the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. Hallelujah. If you're ready to be that and take that place, just put amen in the comment section. I feel the anointing today on today's broadcast. And I sense that God's going to do something amazing. I'm telling you, it, just like the title is, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you today. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that great Spirit of God that is called the resurrection power of God, is going to come on you. And some of you have dead dreams. Some of you have things that have lied dormant in your spirit. Some of you have things that you maybe at one point were excited about, passionate about, and you were fueled to get it done. But somewhere down the line, you got the wind knocked out of you. The Holy Ghost is going to allow that dream to come back to life again. And you're going to put your hand back on the plow. You're going to put your boxing gloves back on. Put your mouth guard in your mouth. Get back in the ring and fight the good fight of faith. And you're going to lay hold on everything God has for you. Hallelujah. Let's read what Luke 1 says. And verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all women." But when she saw the angel, she was troubled, or another translation says, perplexed at this saying, which shows you Mary did not think much about herself. She wasn't going around posting selfies all the time, thinking she was the best thing since sliced bread. She actually saw herself as very insignificant, and she was a humble lady. And the scripture says, when the angel said, "You're a highly favored one, and God has been with you," she was left perplexed. What do you mean God is with you? You know what that tells you? It tells you that regardless of what you feel like, the Lord is with you if you're in Christ. Hallelujah. Regardless of if some people, they go up and down based on if they feel God or don't feel God. You shouldn't let your mood be determined by whether you feel God or don't feel God. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Mary was perplexed because at that moment, she might have thought herself to be the least worthy to carry the Son of God into the world. And yet God, by the angel, said, "I'm with you." Some of you feel abandoned, especially during this Christmas time and this Christmas holiday season, where you may have lost loved ones and you might feel like you're the most alone person on planet Earth. Let me make this clear to you. God is with you. Even if your father and mother have abandoned you, God is with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He's with you, lo, even to the ends of the age. Even to the ends of the age. Don't be confused by that statement. Receive it by faith. Matter of fact, that's a good confession to make. God is with me today. God is with me. Write that in the comment section. God is with me. And if you want to make it a little more personal, say, "God is with Crystal. God is with Jasmine. God is with Evangelist Matt. God is with Daniel. God is with Amanda. God is with Carrie. God is with Laura. God is with me." Hallelujah. And the Bible says the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Hallelujah. Not only is God with me, God favors me. Ho. God doesn't just come around me just to see how I'm doing. God favors me. God's favor is on my life. God's blessings on my life. God's eyes are on me. The light of his countenance, his shining, vibrant favor is on me. The Lord is with you, and you have found favor with God. And behold, I love this, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. There will be no end. Verse 34. This is where I'm going to focus on today. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, so that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, for with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now skip with me to verse 45, Luke 1, 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is the account of the angel Gabriel coming to announce to Mary, you're going to bring forth a son, and he's going to be the savior of all the earth. But here's the dilemma, or here's the miraculous part of all this. Because I want to remind you, Christianity is a supernatural thing. Everything about Christianity is supernatural. Its inception was supernatural. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin who had never known a man. It's an immaculate conception. It did not require a man to bring this to pass. God, by the Spirit, birthed Jesus and Mary. Its inception was supernatural. Jesus' life and ministry was supernatural. Jesus' death was supernatural. Jesus' burial was supernatural because it was a direct fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And Jesus' resurrection was supernatural. Jesus' ascension was supernatural. And Jesus' sending of the Holy Ghost and the birth of the church was supernatural. The church age has always had a supernatural move of God. And guess what? The church age is going to culminate in a supernatural event where Jesus is going to descend with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up in the rapture of the church, which is a supernatural event. Everything about Christianity is supernatural. So why should your life be natural? Why should your life be ordinary? Why should your life be regular? No, if there's anyone that should have a supernatural, extraordinary, irregular, abnormal life where the world around you looks at you and says, how can this be? Just like the angel when he came to Mary. Mary's answer was, how can this be? That's what supernatural living does. It gets people to ask you, how could that be? How did that happen? And it's not we reply with, you know, it was hard work, grit, and sweat. And I'm not against hard work, grit, and sweat. We should work. And I'm actually going to get into our part to play in God's fulfilling his word in our lives, because we do have a part to play. We do have a responsibility. As I've always said on this broadcast, any faith that seeks to make God totally responsible for the outcome of our lives is an irresponsible faith. I'll say that again. Any faith that seeks to make God totally responsible for the outcome of your life is an irresponsible faith. Faith requires corresponding action. Faith requires our part to play. It is when we do what God has told us to do that God will do what he has already said from his word. And we're going to get into that. But essentially, Mary's question was this: how can this be? How can this be? Because at that time, there had been stories in the Old Testament of a woman that was old. Sarah was approaching 90 years old, and she conceived. So she had a precedence to stand on in faith with regards to child conception because of Sarah's life, Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. She had already heard of these supernatural stories of God giving a child to a woman who was believing for the fruit of the womb, but they were having relations with their husbands. They were having sexual intercourse. And so there was now this new thing that God was doing in Mary that had never yet been done before. So Mary wasn't necessarily questioning God's ability to bring forth a child. She already knew him as the God of supernatural fruitfulness. Her questioning was regarding how that's going to happen if I'm not going to have relations with Joseph, if I'm not even married yet. And obviously they were not having premarital sex. And so she's wondering, how's this going to happen? My wedding date's in July and it's December. You know what I mean? My wedding date is, it's not approaching anytime soon. So how do you want to bring this to pass, Jesus or Angel Gabriel? And so the angel replies this, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of God will overshadow you. And that which shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. So the angel explained here that it's going to be an unconventional method. And I feel like sometimes people miss out on the supernatural because they're trying to figure out how everything's going to take place. And they're trying to rationalize how God's going to do it. But you have to realize God is a God of divine surprises. That's a good thing to put in the comment section. God is a God of surprises. God is a God of divine surprises. And for you to experience a miracle and for God to do what everything he wants to do through you in your generation, there has to be a point of time where you come to a decision on, I'm not going to limit God on how he will manifest himself through me in this generation. I'm not going to limit God on how he can do miracles. Sometimes people put God in a box and they only determine, they only deduct that God will only move how he's always moved. But that's not true. You know, I was preaching at a church this weekend, and I felt in my spirit to talk about the subject of a reintroduction to Jesus Christ. And I said something that stuck with me, and I know it's by the Spirit because I'd never said it before. And I said, sometimes the most religious people and the people that God has the hardest to work with, hardest time working with, are those who have seen a miracle before or who have been in the move of God before. And because they saw how God did it then, they limit God on how he can do it now. And they set limitations and they have a framework now in what God can do and what he can't do. And the scripture says in Psalm 78 that the Israelites in the Old Testament who saw the Red Sea parting, eventually during their 40-year wilderness journey, that the psalmist writes, they limited God, yea, they tested him, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you know that you can limit God? Well, how is that possible since God is unlimited in power? His power remains the same whether you believe him or not. His love remains the same whether you believe it or not. His miracle healing power remains the same whether you believe it or not. The power of his word works and remains the same whether you believe it or not. But whether it applies to your story and whether you get to partake of that solely depends on your faith. On your faith. I'll give you an example of this. In 2 Kings chapter 7, a very powerful story. 2 Kings chapter 7, in chapter 6, there's a story of a siege that was laid against Samaria, and the Samaritans were locked into their city. And the Assyrian king had totally blocked the water from reaching the city, and they weren't allowed out to collect their crops. And so a lot of people were starving, and it was such starvation that some of them resorted to get this cannibalism. And you see the story of a woman who literally boiled her son to eat him. I mean, it was abject poverty. It was poverty unlike you've probably never seen before, because as poor as you've seen in North America, wherever you're watching, nobody's resorted to eating their child. And so it was a really, really bad situation. It was a bad story. It was a rough time. And so at this point, Elisha the prophet, in verse 1 of chapter 7, gets up and he decides, by the power of God, we're going to put an end to this famine. And here's how it's going to happen. Hear the word of the Lord. Elisha said, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, behold, I heard what he said, but he's not the economic analyst, I am. And here's what I have to say. Our economy is so horrible that even if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And Elisha replied to him and said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it or partake of it. Skip over now, because there's a story of the four lepers. Skip over now to verse 16. Then the people, God gives them a victory. They end up going, collect the spoil of the war. The siege is finished. The famine's done. The drought's over. And the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrian raiders. So a seah of fine flour was indeed sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel. The economy was restored to even better than it was before. And I feel to pause there and just encourage some of you today. You may have gone through something that you lost a lot, whether it be financial, whether it be relational. Maybe you lost the fire of God. Maybe you lost the love in your marriage. Maybe you lost a relationship with your child. Maybe you lost healing in your body or physical health in your body. Maybe you lost the function of a liver or a kidney or a pancreas or a heart or a lung or whatever. God can do such a miracle for you today. And the way he's going to do it is like we read before, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, God can do something so profound for you today that not only are you restored to what it was before, but whatever was lost or whatever went out of function can actually be restored to a function that was better than you've ever seen it before. That whether you lost a love in your marriage, God can restore love in your marriage where it's better than you ever had it before. He can bring it back to even beyond the honeymoon stage. Hallelujah. If it's a relationship with your child, God can restore that relationship to better than you had before. If it's financial loss and financial doom that's come your way, and you're facing bankruptcy, God can restore your bank account to better than what you had it before. Hallelujah. If it's health in your body, God can give you strength in your system better than what you had it before, where you start to feel better than you did when you were a marathon runner at the age of 25. Yeah, that's the story of Caleb. I'm 85 today. I just turned 85. My birthday was last week, Caleb said. But I'm stronger today than I was at 40 years old. God can restore things to better than you had it before. And I see the Lord by the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you today, doing that in Jesus' name. And so the word of the Lord came to pass. Now, listen to this. The king who had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, the economic analyst. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God said, two seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had said, Elisha had replied, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. And so it happened exactly to him. For the people trampled him in the gate and he died. So this shows you, God can come to you with a vision. God can come to you with his promises. And you can ask him, how's it going to happen? And the Lord can reply, the power of the Holy Ghost will get it done. Remember Zechariah 4:6. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit, I'll get the work done. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Now we have two people we're contrasting in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have Mary, who when she heard the word, which was ridiculous, it was an impossible task for Mary to accomplish by herself. No amount of willpower could have caused her to conceive a child. No amount of effort would have accomplished that. It was a ridiculous announcement. It was a ridiculous thing that the angel was bringing to Mary. But what was Mary's response? Behold, the servant of the Lord, may it be to me exactly as you have said it. May it be to me according to the word of the Lord. What was the officer in 1 Kings chapter 7 or 2 Kings chapter 7's response? Even if God should open up the windows of heaven, such a thing could not be. So you have a dichotomy here. You have two extremes. You have one person that said, Lord, I'm ready and open and willing to flow with the Holy Ghost to bring about whatever you want to bring about on the earth. But this officer did the opposite. He announced that God could not bring that to pass. This is an impossible. He allowed the impossibility of his situation to form his confession rather than the enormity of the power of God to form his confession. Never allow the impossibility, the seemingly impossibility of a situation to discourage you and form your confession in doubt and unbelief so that you disqualify yourself from partaking of what God has. See, this officer, he could have been one that enjoyed the blessing. The word that Elisha brought forth was for everyone. He didn't say except for you, Mr. Officer. And you know what the thing is here in this story? Is the word of God did work. Let me make this very clear to you. God's word will work. Whether you believe it or not, it works. Now, whether it works for you depends on whether you believe it or not. God's word works. Whether you believe it or not, God's word brings healing. God's word brings salvation. God's word brings deliverance. Whether that salvation and healing and deliverance happens to you, whether you walk into the fullness of God in what the vision he's given you in your heart happens for you, and that becomes your story, is solely dependent upon whether you choose to be the officer of the Old Testament or Mary of the New Testament. Hallelujah. But I believe there's people watching me here on the broadcast, live and on the replay, that God's told you something crazy. Some of you are believing God for business opportunities and you're wondering, like Mary, how could it happen? But I believe that there's Mary-like faith rising up in your spirit today, that you'll start to say, like the angel said, the Holy Ghost will bring it to pass. Some of you are wondering how you're going to pay rent this month. But I believe faith is coming on the inside of you to reply, the Holy Ghost will bring it to pass. Some of you are asking, how can it be possible that this marriage will be reconciled so that your husband loves you again, or your wife loves you again, or your children loves you again, and your family's restored? The Holy Ghost will bring it to pass. Some of you are believing for a family around you to be delivered of drug addiction and alcohol addiction and abuse. And you're wondering how it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost will bring it to pass. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. What does that mean to acknowledge him? It means that my eyes are on you. It means I'm not looking to an alternative. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in men. For that man shall receive nothing from the Lord. But blessed is the man who puts his eyes on the Lord and puts his trust in the Lord. For that man shall be like a tree firmly planted by the riverbank. That man shall yield fruit in every single season. That man shall see the goodness of the Lord while he's yet in the land of the living. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. Let me make this clear to you. Listen up right now. This is probably the most important phrase or sentence that I'm going to make on this broadcast. God never asked you to perform the impossible. God has only asked you to believe him for the impossible. God never asked you to perform the impossible. God has only required that you believe him for the impossible. God's not saying you need to heal yourself. He's saying, believe me for divine healing. It's like Naaman. And this is where our part comes into play. Because some people have wrongly taken that statement that I just made to mean that we should assume a state of passivity and we should just wait on the Lord. Now, a lot of people think wait on the Lord is to sit back with your hands twiddled, intertwined, and your thumbs twiddling together, and you're just waiting patiently like you're in the doctor's office, sitting in the waiting room, reading the newest edition of Time or Newsmax or whatever type of magazine you read, and you're just waiting patiently, waiting for God to do something. The word wait on the Lord does not mean to sit patiently and do nothing. It's actually an active word. It's actually a verb. It means to wait, to serve on the Lord, to take your part to play seriously and get that done. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. I'm not waiting doing nothing. I'm waiting as in like a server at a restaurant waits on a table. I'm waiting on the Lord by obeying his instructions, by doing what he has told me to do, by fulfilling my part. What are examples of this? Naaman in the Old Testament, the Bible said, was a leper and he was dying. And one of his servants, who was an Israeli, said, there's a prophet in Samaria who can help you. So Naaman goes to Elisha's house. Elisha comes out and doesn't just snap his fingers and say, receive your healing now. Elisha gives him an instruction. I've said this often. If you're believing God for a miracle, keep your ears peeled for an instruction. If you're believing God for a miracle, keep your ears peeled for an instruction. And so Elisha said, I want you to go to the River Jordan and wash 7 times. Dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, and it shall come to pass that your flesh shall be restored like that of a child. What did Naaman do? He got offended. If you're offended by the instruction of the Bible, you will never be a candidate or qualified to receive the power of the Bible. If you are offended by the instructions of the Bible, you disqualify yourself from being a candidate to receive the power that the Bible has. You need to receive his instructions. The Bible says, receive my instructions from my mouth and lay up my word in your heart. For then you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. You can read that in Job 22. So Naaman was offended. I'm not going to do that. The River Jordan is dirty. I saw a Band-Aid floating there the other day. I'd never step foot in that. I wouldn't even let my enemy go in there. How much more the rivers of Damascus have much more healing power and mineral charged waters that will help me. I'm not going here. I've already done the whole soak it in the nice river waters, and I've even drenched myself in milk like Cleopatra used to do. And yet it's not helped me. So why would this Jordan River help me in the least? And so because he was not willing to do the prophet's instruction, he forfeited the prophet's reward. But then the servant said, how much more, if he had told you to do something super complex, would you not have done it? And he encouraged Naaman to go and dip. And it was in dipping 7 times that his flesh was restored like that of a child, better than what it was before. Man, that seems to be the recurring theme today. There's some things the devil's done to you that's caused major damage. But the Holy Ghost is going to come on you today as you take your part in the covenant. The Holy Ghost will confirm God's word in your life, and your life will be restored to better than what you had before. Psalm 126 will prove true for you. The Bible says, when the Lord brought the captives back to Zion, they were like them that dream. Your life is going to be a dream. I can tell you this with absolute confidence because my life is a dream. If you had seen me 11 years ago before I got saved and met the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of power, the Jesus of compassion, I was a mess. I was down to 108 pounds. There was nothing good in me. There was no future. There was no prospect. There was no hope. It was a tunnel with no light at the end of it. And yet when the Holy Ghost came upon me, I am not what I used to be. I'm better than what I was before. Naaman's flesh was restored to better than what he had before. The Lord brought the captives back to Zion, and their mouths were filled with laughter, and they were like them that dream. Whatever you have dreamed about, God can bring to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Better than, I want you to write that in the comment section. It'll be better than what I had before. Man, I feel the anointing so strong on that. It'll be better than what I had before. It'll be better than what I had before. But you notice that Naaman, it was in his obedience that he unlocked that dimension of miracle. The Israelites out of Egypt, they get to the Red Sea. And what did the unbelieving Israelites complain about? Was there no graves in Egypt? Was it because of that you brought us here to die here? He said, we would rather go back to Egypt. At least we had bread. Now we're going to die at this sea. Our fate is doomed. Our fate is doomed. You know, that's how a lot of people live. Tolerate. They were ready to go back and tolerate Egypt because they weren't ready to believe God for the sea to open. They were ready to go back and tolerate the Egyptian whip because they were unwilling to move forward with God. And the devil uses that tactic to pull people back into bondage. Move forward today. When Moses cried out to the Lord, Lord, what should we do? God didn't say, hey, you might as well go back to Egypt. You know, I gave you a taste of freedom, and that's what salvation is. It's a taste of freedom, but ultimately it's only when you die you'll... No! What did God tell Moses? You remember that rod I gave you? Yeah. Stop just using it to walk. Take it up and wave it over the Red Sea and use it to work a miracle. They complained. But God was already lining up a miracle for them to see that which their eyes had never seen. An entire sea, an ocean being opened up before their eyes. And when they walk through on dry ground, the Egyptians, their enemies, seeking to pull them back in bondage, tried to do the same. But the same waters that opened up for the Israelites closed up on the Egyptians. And God's word for the Israelites came to pass. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more. They had it better than what they had before. They didn't go back to Egypt. They never in their life from that moment forward ever suffered the Egyptian whip another day. They never reverted. They never went back. God, when he brings about a work and a miracle in your life, it is a full work. It is a complete work. And I'm here to encourage you today. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you right now, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And whatever is represented, shame, reproach, the curse, sorrow, hardship, trouble, Egyptian-like bondage, whatever has represented something that has caused you to groan and moan and sigh and cry and want to die, that thing is being broken off your life today in Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you're entering into your freedom. How can this happen? It seems so untrue. It seems so unreal. It seems so impossible. The Holy Ghost. Stop trying to make sense of it all. God told the Israelites, walk around Jericho 7 times and I'm going to make it fall. What? That's ridiculous. If you'll believe God for the ridiculous, God will do the remarkable. Hallelujah. If you'll believe God for the ridiculous, if you'll do the seemingly ridiculous task at hand that the Lord's telling you to do, he'll unlock the remarkable. If you'll believe God to the point where men might see you as foolish, Jesus, we need wine. Okay, can you fill that water pot with water? Did you not hear me? Wine, not water. Yes, fill it with water. And Jesus' mother, Mary, there it is, that faith again, that faith never left her. Because remember, she said, the Lord's word, let it be to me according to his word. And then Luke 1:45, blessed is she who believed, there will be a performance of the Lord on her behalf. Mary understood, if you'll just believe the Lord, there will be a performance because he watches over his word to perform it. God's a performer of signs and wonders. His eyes are looking to and fro, just looking for one who will just simply believe. And I believe I'm looking at some people here today, Simeon, Jasmine, Connie, Marta, Krista, Tanishka, Sunshine. I believe that the Lord is pleased with your faith today. I believe the Lord is looking down on your faith today. And I believe that it's unlocking a performance on God's behalf to unlock that which eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has never been conceived. Remember, it had never been conceived that a woman without a man should bring forth a child. And yet the Holy Ghost did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make the water pots filled with water. And they did. And what happened? The water was turned to wine. I'll say it again and we'll finish with this. God never asked you to perform the impossible or do the supernatural. God just asked you to believe him for it. God never asked you to perform the supernatural. He just asked you to believe him for it. Hallelujah. Mary, the angel didn't say, go to the local IVF treatment place and we're going to do this. We're not going to. No. She wasn't going to get it done in her own strength. I believe there's some people watching that feel this by the Spirit. You're believing God for a child. You're believing God for a child. You've been doing IVF treatments. You've been doing everything you know to do. And it seems like nothing works. It seems like the doctor said, we're doing everything. We're going to keep on trying. And it's been very expensive for you to do that. If God can conceive in Mary a child without a seed, a human seed, a man's seed, without a sperm, don't you think God can work a miracle in that womb right now? Hallelujah. Given that all the ingredients are there. Hallelujah. I speak life on that womb right now. I curse barrenness. I curse infertility. And I speak life in that womb. Be fruitful and multiply. Enjoy your own Isaac in Jesus' name. Enjoy your own Samuel in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command a child to be born in that womb right now. How? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you as it came upon Mary. In the name of Jesus Christ. Receive that for yourself. Receive that for yourself. You know, God spoke to the Israelites in 2 Kings chapter 3. They were believing God for water because they had been many days in the wilderness and in the desert, and they had no water, and they were going to war, and they needed water to strengthen their troops and some of their cattle they had with them. And the Bible says that God, by the prophet, said, make this valley full of ditches. Though you don't see rain and though you don't see wind, it will be filled with water. Make this valley full of ditches. That was their part to play. You do the little, I'll do the major. Make this valley full of ditches. They did that, and what happened? The prophet said, though you don't see rain and though you don't look, you're not going to find any wind. And yet the valley will be filled with water. The ditches will fill up with water. Stop trying to make sense of it all. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it in the first place. So instead, just say, Lord, whatever it is, you want to heal me? It's going to come. It's coming now. It's manifesting in my body right now. And God wants to heal you. There's no question about it. God wants to restore you. God wants to deliver you. There's no question about it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Whatever is holding you back from abundance of life, the Lord will give you. And maybe there's not something necessarily you're in bondage with. Maybe it's a vision the Lord's given you. The Bible says, write the vision down and run with it. He that reads it will run with it. For though it tarries, it will not tarry long. In the end, the vision will speak for you. Some of you have a vision from God. You know, Joshua's vision to lead Israel into the promised land was a major vision. That's a tough task. Huge vision. But God didn't say, I'm giving you a supernatural assignment, but you got to use human power to get it done. With every supernatural assignment, with every supernatural task, the anointing is the supernatural equipment to get the supernatural task done. And that's what the Holy Ghost comes on people to do. The Holy Ghost doesn't just come to give you goosebumps. The Holy Ghost will come on you and give you excellence in what the Lord's called you to do. If it's a business, how am I going to get global partnership in this business? I have vision where our company is in every nation on earth, but how is that going to? The Holy Ghost. The favor of God and the Holy Ghost of heaven can do more in 5 months than you can conceive to do in 50 years or in 5 lifetimes. God can do more by His Spirit. If you get in the flow of the Spirit, God can do more in that flow in 5 months than you can try to accomplish in 5 lifetimes. In 5 lifetimes. So what do you have to do? Yield yourself to the Spirit of God to give license to Him, and the power of God will come on the scene to do what He needs to do. Yield. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in His prophets, and you shall prosper. It's in the flow of the Spirit. When you get in that flow, how do you get in the flow? Fast, pray, read the Bible, connect to a local church, and set your mind on the things of heaven. That's how you get in the flow. That's to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. That's what it means to be. It's very simple. I know people write 14 volumes of books on what it means to be in the Spirit. It's very simple. Fast, pray regularly, read the Bible, sow into the work of God, connect to a local church, and set your mind on souls and the things of heaven. That's what it means. That's spiritually minded. And when you're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. And when you get in the Spirit's flow, here's what happens. You start to have kingdom connections. Kingdom connections. God starts to draw people to you. Just like Paul was drawn to Timothy. Just like Moses was drawn to Joshua. Just like in my life, my mentor, Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, he was drawn to me. He was drawn to me and he took me under, and he's been a help and a blessing ever since. Those type of connections happen. If you're looking for business connections, it's not about going to every conference. You know, that's what they do in the ministry, in evangelism. The evangelist goes to every freaking conference that exists on planet Earth because they're trying to network. They come with their little carts, the little business cards, and they hand them out to pastors. Please, have me into your church. Have me in. And all of that does nothing. All of that does nothing. Instead, I've never given anyone my card. I've never asked anybody to come preach at their church. All I've done is fast and pray, get in the flow. And what did it do? It opened up doors that no man can open for me. And it continues to do so. And that's going to be your story in Jesus' name. You're believing God for business breakthrough, ministry breakthrough. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And as you get in that flow, what doors man could not possibly open for you, doors that you will walk through and you'll think to yourself, how am I here? Why are you even interested in me? Why are you even taking note of me? And they'll just say something, and it's happened to me, because I've asked them, like, what caused you to invite me to your church? This is a big church. What caused you to invite me? And even smaller churches, why would you invite me? I've never met you in my life. And they'll just say, you know what, I was praying, and I felt the Holy Spirit lay your ministry on my heart, and I just knew that we needed to have you in. That's the type of stuff that happens when you're in the flow of the Holy Ghost. That's the type of things that's going to happen to you from this day onward. In Jesus' mighty name, in the name of Jesus Christ, let me pray for you right now. I feel the anointing right now in the studio and those watching online. In Jesus' mighty name, whatever it is you're believing God for, whatever breakthrough you're believing God for, doors to be open, whatever it is in the deliverance realm that you're believing the Lord for, or perhaps it's a healing in your body, or perhaps it's a restoration in your life, restoration of finances. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the Holy Ghost coming on you right now. I loose the fullness of the power of the Spirit to completely fill your heart and your house and your room and your life and your body and this vessel from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Every sign of discouragement we uproot in Jesus' name. Every sign of downcastness, anything that would cause you to hang your hands limp and throw in the towel, give up and quit in Jesus' name. Just like Paul heard in Acts chapter 27 when they had been shipwrecked for 21 days or whatever. The Lord came to Paul by an angel and said, "Take heart, Paul, for you're going to stand before Caesar." And that meant the fulfillment of what God called him to do. You're not dying here. You're going to stand before Caesar. You're not parking where you're at. Emily, Galileo, Tasha, you're not parking here. You will stand before Caesar. You will take full heed unto the ministry and what God's called you to do, and you're going to fulfill it in Jesus' mighty name. You're not parking here. You're not camping here. You're moving. You're moving forward. You're moving forward in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 And that which shall be born through you in this generation, people will say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you receive that for yourself, just write amen, hallelujah. I receive it in the comment section. Praise God. Hello, our brother Tien is watching online. God bless you, my friend. Hi. What a great broadcast. I'm glad I did this today. We're going to do our giveaways now. But before we do that, I want to do one thing. If you're watching me right now and you want to talk about giveaways, let's talk about the biggest giveaway that's ever been had. God gave his only son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're watching me right now and you've never given your life to Jesus, heaven's giveaway is better than any giveaway I can give. And that was the Son of God made flesh partaking of flesh and blood, so that he through his death might destroy the devil who had the power of death, so that we could come out of death into life, out of sin into righteousness, out of sickness into health, out of the bondage of the devil and into the liberty of God. You're watching me right now. You've never done that. You need to do that with me now. If you have done that, but you've fallen away, you're not living for the Lord quite like you know you should, rededicate your life to Jesus today. Pray this prayer with me. This is not an option. Jesus is coming back soon. You need to pray this with me right now. If there's any question regarding your eternal destination, you need to settle that account now. This might be the very last time you ever get a call. I don't know if Jesus comes back at 3 o'clock today. I don't know when he's coming back, but I certainly know that as long as there's beat in your heart and breath in your lungs and that trumpet hasn't sounded, that there's still time to believe, repent, and receive Christ into your life. Pray this with me if you've not done it before, or if you have, but you'd like to recommit your life to Christ. Pray this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus is alive. I believe Jesus is coming back. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. I repent. I renounce this world. I renounce the devil. I receive Christ. I am saved. I am healed. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. And I'm never looking back. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, there's a slide that's going to show up on screen right now. I would love for you to go to salvationnow.ca. The first link that pops up is I just got saved. Click that. Fill out the information. I want to get to you a gift. This is not some gimmick to get your address. We need your address to send you the package. But we're not doing it so we can send you letters for giving and letters for, you know, we have a need, brethren, would you consider? No, you're never going to be hassled for money. I promise you that. You're never going to be hassled for any of that. I just want to get a gift to you, a Bible, some reading material, a T.L. Osborne book into your hands that's going to greatly help you. So help me help you. Fill in that form, salvationnow.ca. I just got saved is the first link, and I'm going to get something to you. Welcome to the family of God. God bless you.
Stay connected with us by visiting us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook by searching at TJ Malkanji, or visit us online, www.salvationnow.ca. God bless you, and until next time.